You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill League podcast. Alex Dunn and Pete Farries are here to talk about no league action at all.
So instead, we're going to sing you a song that we've written about the joys of investing in a pension.
No, we're not. Stop that now. Yes, we are looking at the FA Cup.
We are.
But Gav and Al are looking at League One and Two, because there is still a fair bit of action, actually, in the lower leagues this weekend. If you want any of the Premier League teams playing in the FA Cup, then I'll point you in the direction of The Punt. That will be covered in there, so give that a listen. We are going to focus on the lower league teams playing in the FA Cup. We're going to look at the two televised games, the two televised games that are featuring lower league sides. So Cardiff against Fulham and Cambridge against Leeds. Everything else covered on The Punt. So it is still a league podcast, isn't it, Pete? Really?
It is.
It's sort of half and half.
It is. I think if we're talking these two games here, we're talking about Championship against Championship and then obviously League Two against Championship. Mm. And then my three picks have got two all-Championship battles and one Championship League One.
So hopefully, between all of William Hill's podcasts, you'll have a pretty good grasp on the FA Cup. We're certainly nodding to the FA Cup, but not forgetting our roots.
No, and I think that's important. You know,
life.
As the philosopher Gary Barlow once said, never forget where you're coming from. In my case, home.
Yeah, that's true. Any other top quotes from singers?
Satellite of Love.
All right.
Satellite's gone way up to Mars.
Nice.
I was listening to that on the way in. I love Lou Reed, although I can't quite quote that song off the top of my head for some reason, despite knowing it. Also, been listening to a lot of Wolf Alice recently.
Any top quotes?
Just looking for a protector, but I'll never reach out in time.
A holding midfielder, that could be.
It could be, or it could be a song about silk.
Okay.
I actually don't know what it's about, it's just called Silk.
Right. So that's
I feel like this has lost its way a bit.
It's our music review. Mm. It's a branch of the league podcast that we're looking to invest in. I don't think it's got any legs, to be honest.
No.
Right, should we talk about football?
Hit me.
Sunday at what time? 11:30.
Yeah.
It's a really early start for Cardiff against Fulham. I think they think that they're in Spain, but they're not. It'll probably be really cold in Wales. Cardiff Fulham, anyway, is coming up on Sunday at 11:30. It's live on BBC Wales, I believe. Cardiff are 9-5, the draw 23-10, and Fulham are 6-4. Two Championship sides, as you've already alluded to, Pete. And if this was a league game, I think it would be priced up pretty similarly, to be honest. I don't think the traders have factored much into the cup aspect of things. If we're being picky, I'd say Fulham have probably got a slightly larger squad than Cardiff if they do choose to rotate. But Fulham currently in 10th in the Championship, Cardiff in 19th. Cardiff have actually picked up their form a little bit in recent weeks. They had been pretty dire so far this season, but they've picked up some points to move themselves 3 points clear of relegation. That is the aim for them, though, this season, is to stay up now. And the Cup is, frankly, nothing more than a distraction. Fulham, firmly ensconced in mid-table, they'll be looking at this and going, possibly an opportunity. Priced up intriguingly here, Pete. I wouldn't have a clue where to start with this one.
I think Fulham actually are an underrated side. There's obviously been a lot of suggestion that Slaviski Jokanovic might make his way across to Spain at the end of the season. But the job he's done, actually, with a Fulham squad that isn't exactly chock-a-block with top quality is very, very good. There are some players in there, one who I shan't mention, who I mention on every podcast ever. But the point still remains that he's underrated and scores a lot of goals and is always a good price. But Fulham, look, 36 points this season. These two sides met earlier in the season at Craven Cottage, 2-2 draw. And actually under Neil Warnock, as you said, Alex, that their home form, Cardiff, has improved markedly. You've really, unless you're Wigan, I suppose, have got to be a very good side to win there against Warnock. So Barnsley won 4 won 4-3 there, didn't they, very recently. You had Wigan win there, okay, maybe not. But then Reading, Leeds, Derby, those are good sides. Mm. And okay, QPR early doors had a good start, didn't they? But have obviously faded very, very quickly indeed. For Fulham away from home this season, it's really not been that bad at all. Just two losses away this season at Brighton and at Villa Park.
Amazing when you think that typically, stereotypically, Fulham are abject on the road.
Yeah. So, you know, OK, Villa have got their problems on the road, but at home are a very good side. Mm. And Brighton are just, full stop, a very good side. So, actually, it's a great deal. If you're talking about home and away form, I know this is league into cup, but you're still talking about the kind of form that I think leads Fulham to be the better 6-4 here. Plus, you've put it very well yourself. It was going to be another one of my arguments. Cardiff, are they really going to... Is Neil Warnock going to care about this? He's a pragmatist. His job is to go in there. He'll get a nice bonus. He'll get a good bit of kudos for keeping him up. Mm. He won't get a kudos for getting them into the next round of the FA Cup, really. So it's all about what can Cardiff do long-term in the league, not short-term in the cup. So I'd be more than happy with Fulham at 6-4. Now, there was 4 goals when these two teams met last time. I could be tempted towards the overs here, the over 2.5, 7-10. I wouldn't be against even the both teams to score, Alex, which I think is also worth a little bit of a look, especially at what I think is actually an okay 6-10. I mean, again, for Cardiff's home games recently, landed against Huddersfield, landed against Wolves, landed against Barnsley. Mm. For Fulham away from home, landed against Brighton, landed against Wolves. Obviously, their game against Reading didn't go ahead, but landed against Barnsley, Forest. So it's there enough for a 6-10. Maybe not the most obvious both teams in the world, but it's enough for a 6-10, I think. In terms of goal scorers, I think Johansson's been in good goal scoring form recently, hasn't he? He's been sort of starting to pick them up, the Norwegian, so 14-5 any time for him. He's good. Tom Kearney's also 14-5. And on the Cardiff side, is there anyone you're desperate to jump in and back on that Cardiff side? Lambert had a little bit of a flurry. He's 13-8. Pilkington scored recently. He's 9-5. Emmett Hughes, who was a man I made a bit of money off last season, can be devastating at 19-5. But it keeps coming back to the fact that ultimately, will Cardiff's motivation be there in the same way as it will for Fulham? And the answer is no. And Fulham could still mount a playoff charge, I suppose. But because they're not that far off. They're only, I think, what, 2 or 3 points off 7th or 8th, aren't they?
6 points off the playoffs as things stand.
Right, okay.
But still, like, it's not that bad.
So you've got to bear that in mind. But I think Fulham at 6-4, a definite play for this TV game, Alex.
Okay, Fulham getting the nod in that one. The other game that we're going to focus on in detail comes on Monday evening. Cambridge against Leeds, 7:45 on Monday. Two sides who arrive here absolutely flying in their respective leagues. They almost won't want a cup game because they're doing so well in the league. But nevertheless, they're flying. It's on TV. It'll be a good atmosphere. This could be a cracker. Cambridge 13-5, the draw 12-5. And Leeds, as far as I was concerned, Pete, a massively appealing 21-20.
Hugely. Mm. Hugely.
It's almost like they're not Leeds anymore.
It is.
They're now a competent outfit who haven't had any devastating news for a few weeks or months. And as a result, with a very good manager, or a above competent manager, shall we say.
No, very good. I think very good. Fair.
Who hasn't been changed for a while. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, right, we should have been doing this for the last 8 years.
It's almost like if you employ a good manager with a good pedigree, you let him sign who he wants to sign, you don't go in the dressing room at half-time and tell his players off and therefore undermine him, and you don't do anything crazy publicly, that can have some kind of positive effect on the field. Mm. It's very strange, isn't it? Yeah, listen, Cambridge have lost, what, only 3 games since September the 17th.
They've been really impressive.
They've been incredible. For the state of investment in Cambridge, they have been incredibly good. And, of course, they spanked a club who need a huge amount of investment, Notts County, on Monday.
Have you seen those 3 goals, by the way?
No, I haven't.
In back-to-back. I think the last 3 times now that Cambridge have played Notts County.
Right.
It might not be the last 3, but it's certainly in recent years. It's been 3 times now. Cambridge have scored a goal through charging down a goalkeeper's clearance.
Wow, that's right. No,
I just saw it on Sky Sports News. I'm not going to profess to knowing anything insider knowledge. I've purely just seen it. But hey, if we do a market on
charging the goalkeeper down.
On that next time they play.
Player to score 6 seconds after charging the keeper down.
Keep an eye on it. Anyway, back to Cambridge Leeds. Sorry.
Well, it was funny because I was chatting to a friend of mine who's a Leeds fan. We live in Leeds, so we're surrounded by him. But he said to me, yeah, but we're terrible on the road in the cup, mate. Terrible on the road in the cup.
That's what... Is that Mark Wilson?
No.
But sounded like him.
But thanks, I'll remember that. Mm. And I thought, okay. And then I looked just before we recorded this. Since that magnificent 1-0 victory at Old Trafford, the Jermaine Beckford goal, 2010 there, was that 2010 I think it was, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. These are the teams that they've been to in the FA Cup. Spurs, Arsenal, they won at Birmingham, Man City, Sunderland, Watford, they won at Bolton, and admittedly a poor result in 2014 away at Spotland where they lost 2-0. But on the whole, yeah, they are poor away from home. But actually, look at the teams they've been to.
Yeah.
Who are they expected to win? Are they expected to win those games? So that, to me, was a real indicator here as to how much... And if you're Gary Monk, you're not sacking this off because momentum is key at the moment. And he can make a couple of changes. He does need more bodies in that lead squad. It is still a bit thin on the ground in some areas. But you keep that momentum going, don't you? You've got to keep pushing that. So I think that 21-20 on Leeds, I'm not quite... I mean, Cambridge must be respected because they've been in great form. Mm. But Leeds are a better club. I'm sorry, better team. Chris Wood to score and Leeds to win, up from 2-1 to 5-2. Right? That, for me, is a great enhanced odds offer should he start. I mean, this guy's form now, we are talking about a serious, serious goal scorer, aren't we? 16 goals this season in all competitions, I think it is, isn't it? He's been absolutely magnificent. A brace against Rotherham. On the Cambridge side of it, Uche Ikpeazu, who you talked about a moment ago, scored the other day. He's also been in very good form. I saw him a couple of years ago and thought, this guy, he's got potential, but he's not really going anywhere. He's got 3 in his last 5. It does seem like at Cambridge now, Uche Ikpeazu is beginning to turn things around. 21-10 for him. But this came down to a very sort of simple formula, Alex, really, in the end, didn't it? Which is, should Leeds be 21-20 against all but, say, 3 teams in the Championship? Mm. No, they'd be shorter than that. There's only, say, you know, likes of Newcastle, Brighton, where you'd expect them to be much bigger than that. Right now, with their form, you'd imagine that 21-20 would be a kind price against most teams in the Championship. And for all of the brilliance that Cambridge have given League Two so far, and they've given some brilliance, it's League Two. 21-20.
Leeds, then. A popular, confident selection from both of us here, I have to say. What I would say is, if you are looking for a pro-Cambridge bet, the last 6 times that Leeds have lost in all competitions, and that hasn't been that often this season, they've lost to nil.
So they don't score, they lose.
Cambridge win to nil is 5-1. Cambridge on the outrights, 3-1. 13-5, even. Not 3-1.
Right, nice.
But that 5-1 could be, if you are looking, if you're being a bit greedy, let's be honest, because 13-5 is big enough by itself, but... Leeds getting the nod in this studio. Right, I will hand back to Pete Farries. He's going to talk about some other Championship sides involved on Saturday at 3 o'clock in the FA Cup. And off the back of this, we'll have Gav Puszczalowski and Al Ross on Leagues 1 and 2, respectively. Best of luck with your bets. Over to you, Pete.
So the Championship takes a bit of a respite, doesn't it, while we regroup and go on some FA Cup action. First and foremost, well, we'll look at Wigan against Forest. 11-8 Wigan, the draw 11-5, Forest in the market at 9-5. Wigan, it's been a long old time since they were last victorious. November, it's been only slightly less time since Forest were last victorious. That, of course, victory over 9-man Newcastle right at the beginning of December. But there's no argument, there's no debate, there's no discussion. This is a tough old game in terms of two sides out of form. But I don't really care about that in a way, because ultimately, I think Forest might be a bit of an interesting play here. They have at least been able to turn it around against some of the league's weaker sides. They've managed to, of course, get victories where we maybe thought they wouldn't get them. And while most of those have come at home, recently, of course, they won away at Ipswich and they won in that thriller against Barnsley. Speaking of that thriller against Barnsley, 7 goals in that game and 7 goals when these two met early season back in August at Forest. 4-3 victory that day, of course, for the home side. Over 2.5 match goals is 19-20, for which there is not a single damn thing wrong. But when you get both sides who are very, very weak, not quite right, and don't look like winning, the bigger price is often a cleverer way to go. So, for example, you could play plus a goal Forest here, 1-2. And of course, my old favourite, the old favourite, the hug from Mummy Bet. You could look at the draw no bet for Forest as well, which is 21-20. The argument I'm trying to put forward here is that these two are very poor sides. At the moment, they're in bad form and they will desperately want to turn that around. So to be able to get odds against on one of those poor sides or the draw, get you your money back, I'm happy to take. In terms of goal scorer as well on the Wigan side, they have had a couple of 3-2 losses recently, of course, the likes of the game against Ipswich, the game, of course, against Rotherham. And one of the men who was involved in goals on both of those days, 3 in total over the two, is former Middlesbrough and Ado Den Haag man, which is, of course, Yannick Wildschut. He's got 4 goals this season, but he has got 3 in the last 4, if you want to look at it in a slightly more rounded fashion. Wildschut in the market at 2-1 anytime. This is a game where, even if Forest, I think, are good value, you are still looking at both teams to score. So Wildschut anytime at 2-1. On the Forest side of things, OK, they're unpredictable, but they do have some good players within that side. Let's not forget that. Dimitri, of course, scored against Newcastle. Pereira, of course, scored against Huddersfield. You had an own goal, which gave them the equaliser against Preston. And it took a while for me to nail down a goal scorer here. But then I thought, well, I don't have to. I think both teams score. But I'd rather play Wildschut against any of these Forest players at the moment. So while the both teams to score I've mentioned, by the way, I should probably give you the price on that. It's 7-10. The over 2.5, the best bet in this game at 19-20. But I'd take Forest draw no bet at 21-20. Second up then, and okay, maybe I'm not being the cleverest here, but I like this anyway. Huddersfield at 2-5, the draw 16-5. Port Vale in the market at 13-2. The enhanced odds here of Naki Wells to score and Huddersfield to win is up from 13-10 to 6-4. Yeah, go on then. He has got 4 in his last 6, the Bermudan. He's been in very good goal-scoring form, and we know how good Huddersfield are, of course, at home. They've lost to Wigan, and they've lost to Wednesday here. That's about it. But the other thing to mention about Huddersfield that we, of course, all know is they don't beat teams up when they win them. So this is what I wanted to really play in this market, because as much as Huddersfield are 2-5 a good value, they don't win by more than a goal. So actually, rather than looking at the -1 at 6-5 for Huddersfield, I'd rather look at the Huddersfield -1 Port Vale +1 at 5-2. And I hate to go over old ground, I don't, but I would pretend to hate to go over old ground, but let's just go through all of Huddersfield's wins this season and see if we can find ourselves at a market which would kill the by a goal. 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 1-0, 1-0, 2-1, 2-1, 1-0, 1-0, 2-1, 1-0, 2-1, 2-1, 1-0. Every victory they've had this season has come by a goal. So if you think Huddersfield are going to win this season, you've got to be adding in that -1, +1 pre-match or in play the winning margin live by one goal market. That's what you've got to do. So Wells is a good play in that enhanced odds market. The fact of the matter is, if we, as we should, look at Port Vale, they're not a side who score, haven't scored in their last four, haven't scored in 3 of the last 4 league games, narrowly beating Chesterfield. It was a good finish from Thomas, but it was a poor performance. They don't really score away from home. They've picked up just 1 away league win this season. That's at MK Dons, who have been awful at home on the whole so far this season at the Stadium MK. And Huddersfield are an exceptional home side. So the 2-5 is undoubtedly one for an acca, but I think if you're backing Huddersfield to win, you should be doing it, and history and form shows you should be doing it to happen by a goal. That is the best bet in this game. -1, +1, Huddersfield at 5-2. And finally, you might think this is just an excuse to mention that I backed Reading at a big price as my nap of the week on the last league podcast. You might say that. I, of course, couldn't possibly comment. And let's be fair, it wasn't very easy either, was it? A last 4-minute brace from Jan Kermagan gave Reading the victory over Bristol City. But that's indicative of a serious problem that Bristol City have got at the moment, in that they have lost all but 2 games, going back as far as their 2-2 draw against Barnsley on the 29th of October. They lost to Brighton, fair enough. They lost to Birmingham, actually, fair enough. They lost to Reading, they lost to Huddersfield, but then they lost to Brentford, Preston, Wolves, Ipswich, and then they blew it, as they did, 2-0 up against Reading last time out. Fleetwood are a very decent side. A very, very decent side. Now, admittedly, they couldn't break down Shrewsbury when they went there at the in the last round of the FA Cup, drew 0-0, of course, against Shrewsbury. But they are a very, very well-organised, well-managed and decent side. They haven't lost away from home more than, well, I think it's only twice since the beginning of November. And they aren't a side that you can be particularly unhappy with backing, especially at 19-5. Bristol City's form is absolutely falling apart. It is falling apart. The other thing to say is that the Bristol City 3-2 loss appears to have just kind of emerged out of nowhere. They lost to Wolves 3-2. They lost, of course, to Reading 3-2 as well. If you look at all competitions, it has been sort of around about that mark. So I thought, first and foremost, as a fun little bet, Fleetwood 3, Bristol City 2, 50-1. A little bit of an FA Cup fun bet for you there, and it is a small stake fun bet. But I am now getting a side who are decent, who are having, for what they are, a very, very good season in League One. Don't forget, they've snuck into sixth in League One now, Fleetwood. So you're getting a side in brilliant form in the league below against a side in atrocious form in the league above. And I love, I mean, I'm going to do a Keegan here, but I absolutely love it to back in a club who are doing well in the league below in a cup game against a team who are doing badly in the league above. It's confidence, it's morale, it's momentum, it's all for you. And to get plus a goal Fleetwood, that's the win or the draw, at 5-4 against Bristol City is really, really good. Now, I know that Tammy Abraham's in there. He's finally started to find goals again. He's 17-20. On the other side of things, Devante Cole scored the other day. He's 17-5. David Ball, of course, former Pushcast Award nominee, is 19-10. Personally, I prefer Cole at the moment at 17-5. But you still come down to the inalienable fact here that Fleetwood are gigantic at 19-5. Bristol City's form is atrocious. Lee Johnson's job is reportedly on the line, so I will make my favourite bet in this game, the 5-4, plus a goal, Fleetwood Town. Now, of course, we get to the Naps. It's been a really good couple of weeks, mainly thanks to Reading over the last few podcasts, and of course, one of my Naps would have been voided back to me after Reading's game against Fulham was called off at half-time. So what's my favourite bet here, without Reading to rely on? Well, it's that one I've just ended with. Bristol City's form is absolutely in the gutter at the moment. They've got some great players and actually a decent manager, but it's just not working for them. So what you have to do for me is look at Fleetwood Town plus a goal at 5-4 as my Nap of the Week. Very best of luck.
Slim pickings in League One this weekend because of all of the FA Cup third round action. So only five games to choose from. 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday. Here are my three favourite bets, starting with my Nap selection, which has to be Scunthorpe at home to Bury. Scunthorpe, yes, they're 2-1 on, and yes, they've been dropping points. They've slipped away from the top two and now sit third. But I think they're going to welcome a Bury side who have been struggling for quite a while now, even though Bury picked up a good couple of draws recently away at Fleetwood and away at Bradford. I think Scunthorpe are going to be just too strong for Bury. Scunthorpe have a real tendency to score first at home, and Bury have lost all but one of their away games in which they've conceded first away from home. And Scunthorpe drew last time at home to Peterborough, and their two previous draws at home for Scunthorpe at Glanford Park, they've followed it up with 3 points in the next home game. So I fancy Scunthorpe. It could be unders, it could be overs. That's the dilemma. But Scunthorpe, nonetheless, at 2-1 on my Nap selection to beat Bury. My second bet involves a battle of the SUFCs, a game that has been moved from the 28th of Feb. They should have played at the back end of next month, but they've moved it because both sides are out of the FA Cup, so they're playing it on Saturday. Southend at home to Sheffield United. Sheffield United started the season very poorly. Hard to believe that now that they have got 53 points, 3 points clear top of the table. But Sheffield United lost three of the opening four games, including a 3-0 home walloping to Southend United. Southend United turned up at Bramall Lane, 3-0 up after 15 minutes and won the game 3-0. It was Chris Wilder's worst day as a Sheffield United manager. And I think because of that, there's a bit of revenge here for the Blades, who have gone from strength to strength. The interesting thing with Sheffield United away from home, against any of the top 10 sides away from home, they haven't won. They're drawn four and they've lost two. So there's an argument to say Southend, with their home form, when they can turn it on and they're at their strongest, They are a bit too big at 3-1. Three of Southend's last five home games have been over 2.5 goals, and Sheffield United away from home, more goals than at Bramall Lane, where teams tend to park the bus. So overs is a play on this one. It's landed in 4 of 5 away for Sheffield United, and over 2.5 goals in this game is evens, and I think that's a big play. Maybe even over 3.5 goals is a play, because I can see Southend having a real go at Sheffield United, and Sheffield United, followed by at least 1,500 fans on a long trip to Southend, having a proper go back. Goal scorers for Southend, look at Simon Cox amongst the goals, and also Will Atkinson from midfield, too big at 4-1, he's amongst the goals. And for Sheffield United, you're looking at Billy Sharp, of course, but also a little bit left field, you're having a look at Kieran Freeman anytime, 4 for the season, but 2 in his last 2, and he's going to be a heck of a price from the right wing back position, and he is 9-1 anytime, but he's a play to score anytime. But I'm fancying goals between Southend and Sheffield United, over 2.5 at evens. Bristol Rovers versus Northampton is my third and final shout, and it's as simple as this: Bristol Rovers to win at 19-20. Their home form is a lot better than their away form. Their away form, they've lost the last 5 games straight, so at home for Bristol Rovers, that is where they've got to pick up all 3 points if they want to get back into the playoffs. Northampton, a little bit inconsistent. Win one, lose one, draw one, win one, lose one. Away from home, Northampton, they're normally an underside, having lost 1-0 at Sheffield United, won 1-0 at Oxford, and recently lost 1-0 away at Bradford. So it could be Bristol Rovers and unders, but then Bristol Rovers are big goal scorers at home, having won the last 3 games straight and actually scored 10 goals in those 3 games. But I fancy Bristol Rovers, it could be overs, but Bristol Rovers at 19-20 to beat Northampton. Matty Taylor anytime is also a play. My 3 bets for this weekend in League One: Scunthorpe, my Knapp selection at home to Bury at 2-1 on. Over 2.5 goals between Southend and Sheffield United, could be pushed to over 3.5 goals, but over 2.5 goals at evens. And Bristol Rovers at home to Northampton at 19-20. That is just shy of 5-1.
Just the 6 matches to choose from this weekend in League 2, and they're a tricky set of games. For example, in-form Colchester hosting a title-chasing Carlisle side who've lost their unbeaten home record with last week's defeat to Grimsby. It's just the second time this season they've lost, and I don't think Colchester, even as well as they're playing, are worth the 8-5 to make it a third. That said, Carlisle aren't worth the 13-8 price either. But there is an obvious play here, because 7 of Carlisle's 12 away games this season have finished level, and I think this is the most likely of any fixture to end in a draw. And it's 12-5 as well, by far the biggest of the 3 outright prices. Carlisle won at Notts County the last time they were on the road, but everyone beats Notts County. The previous 3 away games, Grimsby, Luton and Crewe, all draws. For even more value, 4 of their 7 away draws have been 2-2, the other 3 1-1. Draw and both teams to score is 3-1. 2-2 correct score would be 12-1. I mentioned that everyone beats Notts County. Well, they've ditched John Sheridan after a run of 9 straight defeats. Last week's 4-0 thrashing at the hands of Cambridge, with Sheridan in the stands in the middle of a touchline ban, highlighting everything that was wrong. Yes, an experienced manager might be able to do something about a side that shipped 23 goals in 9 league games, failing to score in 6 of those. I don't think the former Leeds striker Alan Smith is the short-term saviour they need. It's not a lack of effort, it's a lack of quality and poor decision-making that's costing them every single week. But the change of manager and the fact they're playing a beatable Morecambe side has skewed the prices. Morecambe did go on a run of 7 straight home defeats this season, but that run's over. 4 points from the last 3 at home includes a win over then-leaders Plymouth. The only defeat in that spell was in a game where they played for 50 minutes with 10 men. And how on earth are a side who've only lost 2 in their last 6 a 6-4 price against a side who've lost 9 in a row? That is a crazy overreaction to a managerial change. Morecambe are odds against 5-4 just to score two goals. Against this Notts County defence, I would be amazed if that doesn't land. And maybe that outright price is not about a managerial change after all, because look at Stevenage. 23-20 at home against a Newport side. Again, a crazy price for a home side against a team that can't buy a point. It is true that Newport have actually won more points on the road than Stevenage have at home this season. And it's also true that Stevenage have lost 4-5 and indeed 5-6. But hold on a second. Quoting Newport's points tally is quoting history. No points for them since the 19th of November, winless in the nine games since. That includes a 2-0 home defeat by Stevenage. Stevenage's recent home defeats have been to leaders Doncaster, to two of the most informed teams in the league in Colchester and Cambridge, and also to recent away day specialists Blackpool. This is one they'll have earmarked for the turnaround, and 23-20 is a good outright price. Not as good as the bigger 6-4 on Morecambe, who will have to be the nap this week. Last week's treble landed at around 5-1. I'm not as sure about this week's, but what do you expect when I'm offering you an outright treble of Morecambe, Stevenage and a draw between Colchester and Carlisle at a much, much bigger 17.27-1.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.